Hello, welcome to another Pharmacy in Practice podcast. Joined today by Gregory Lawton, of the PDA, Policy Manager at the PDA. Would you like to say hello, Greg?
Yeah, hello everyone.
So the reason we've got Greg, or well, the reason I've asked Greg to come on today is to talk about this technicians report, pharmacy technicians report, I should say, more precisely. And I should correct myself because language matters in this topic, doesn't it? So start. Oh, let's just start, Greg. What was the point of the report?
Well, I think it's widely recognised and has been for some time that in community pharmacy, the clinical skills that pharmacists have are underutilised, and I think there's no clinical or professional career framework for most pharmacists in community pharmacy unless they move out of the sector. I mean, you've got roles like superintendent and so on, but it's not, it's not big enough to accommodate the number of pharmacists that work in community. So there's a need to free pharmacists up to use those skills, and to do that, they need to be able to rely on a highly trained support staff, which means that we need pharmacy technicians to fill that space. Unfortunately, in community pharmacy technicians are essentially working as dispensers, and there's not really any distinction in the roles that they're performing at the moment. So ultimately, the report was about making some proposals as to how we could address that, but also addressing some of the unspoken problems and putting those on the table, so that ultimately you create a career framework that works for both pharmacists and pharmacy technicians that works symbiotically, as was developed in the hospital sector in the 1970s and 80s. They did that by looking first at what the public wanted and what the profession wanted for the development of pharmacists, and then sort of dovetailed the roles of pharmacy technicians to fit with that. So it works well in the hospital sector, but there's nothing like that in community at the moment.
I think we need to be clear at this stage. My having spoken to you, social media isn't helpful in this topic, I think, because it doesn't bring out the nuance of the or nuances of the debate, does it? So just to be clear, you're not against the progression of pharmacy technicians.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I think, the report is the very opposite of that, really. It's about ensuring that pharmacy technicians and pharmacists, of course, have rewarding and successful roles that they want to develop into, and that reward them appropriately in terms of salary escalation as well. So, that's what the report is about. But you can't really get there unless you deal with some of the issues underneath, which I think those are the things that people are finding challenging, because they haven't, to be honest, they haven't really been talked about before. You can't build your house upon the sand, or you shouldn't build your house upon the sand is probably more accurate. And there are some things that need to be addressed to get there, but the report is absolutely about setting out that positive vision.
And do you see, I mean, one of the broad themes that came out when I read some of the chapters was this divide between hospital and community practice. And I don't mean just on the technician front here, I mean across the board with pharmacists as well, really. So, I mean, looking back in the day, pharmacists developed in a much more orderly fashion, or in a much more sequential fashion in hospital pharmacy, didn't they? Whereas in community, that career profile hasn't really happened. And I think my reading of it is that you're making the same point about pharmacy technicians, aren't you? In the early 80s, pharmacy technicians progressed really well in hospital. But one of the key points in this report is that maybe that hasn't transferred to community. Why do you think that is?
That's a really interesting question, and I think there's some very broad answers to that, to be honest. I think certainly, if you were to set up a structured career framework in community pharmacy, you'd need that to be supported by employers, and for it to be supported widely, you'd want that to be supported by the community pharmacy contract. But that's a discussion I think that the profession needs to have. And that's part of what the report is trying to do, is to initiate that discussion to say what should that look like, so that we get to a good place with the skills and experience that we need to support the development of pharmacy practice in the community sector.
Cool. Got to face into the trickies in this thing. When I first published the news stories around this, they weren't shall I say, they weren't widely positively received. So why, one question I had around it was why was the report launched in a sequential fashion? Why not just report it all in one?
I think the rationale behind publishing it step by step was that it's a meaty document. It's around, I think it's around 300 pages in total. And to have a debate in an entire profession, we didn't feel that it would land as we wanted it to if it was just one big document was suddenly dumped on people, because it's a lot of information to wade through. So the thinking behind it was to release it chapter by chapter so that people would have time to digest and discuss each chapter, and then move on to the next one, because, you know, there are some distinct themes within the chapters. To be honest, I think, you know, I would have liked to seen it done more quickly than we have released it. But, you know, that was the thinking behind releasing it step by step.
Cool.
And you know, I know some people, you know, that some people will be very happy to read a, you know, a 300 page document, but that's not true of everyone. And, you know, to try to get the level of discussion that's needed in the profession, I think that was the thinking behind releasing it in steps.
Mm-hmm. And there's certainly, I mean, there's no doubt there's a lot in it. You know, there's a lot of meaty topics in it, and you come at the general concept from quite a number of angles. So one thing that stood out was let's get into some of the chapters then. So tell me about the cheating and collusion and plagiarism. What was the background to all that sort of? Because that's a headline grabber, isn't it? You know. So what was in the report there around that?
Yeah. So that's one of the appendices to the report. So on a forum, it's pharmacy-forum.co.uk. Over a number of years, there have been a number of pharmacy technicians who've gone onto that forum and have asked for help with their assessments, and other people have gone on there and provided help. Now, because the courses that they're discussing are distance learning courses, and it appears that they've stayed the same for quite a number of years, the answers to the assessments that pharmacy technicians have are there and available in the public domain, so that anybody else who's going on and doing the same course can just go and look up those answers and doesn't necessarily need to have the understanding of it that they might otherwise if they had discussed it with their pharmacist in the pharmacy, for example, or had undertaken their own research. So it's a bit like having a crib sheet to your assessments. I think that was really interesting how that was received, to be honest, because, you know, let's say you took, if the headline was GPs have been sharing their answers to their assessments on an online forum, and that's been happening for a number of years, I think that would have hit major headlines. But with pharmacy technicians, that didn't happen. So in terms of what that tells you, that's quite interesting in itself, I think. So, you know, if you'd have sort of expected the GPHC and the government to say, okay, well, we need to investigate this, we need to understand what impact it's had, but, you know, that hasn't happened. And similarly, pharmacy technicians themselves haven't talked about it either, which I find quite interesting too, because I would have liked to think that if that had happened with pharmacists, that pharmacists would have said, okay, we just can't have that in the profession, that needs dealing with, that needs sorting out. But there hasn't been any demand for that. It's just been, you know, it's been silenced, to be honest, on social media about it. I mean, there was something published from Buttercups in response to a question that I raised about it on social media. And part of that response was that cheating is part of the human condition. So that's just part of the response. But, you know, I don't personally find that an appropriate view to take of it. I think there are some, you know, there are some governance issues there in terms of how that's been approached, to be honest.
So is there something underlying this? What's the subtext? Like, are pharmacy technicians viewed differently by those who fund pharmacy? What I'm getting at is do you have an objection to how pharmacy technicians are promoted or are integrated within the healthcare system? Is there something there? Because that's the feeling I get from that previous answer. There's just, you know, the implication is that pharmacy technicians are get an easier ride or something compared to pharmacists or doctors. Is that, would that be fair to say?
Yeah, I think the first thing to say and to go back to again is that the report and my own personal views are that we need pharmacy technicians to have the training and skills and experience and support that they need to be able to take on bigger roles in pharmacy, to allow pharmacists to do the same. But I think if you and this is detailed in, you know, extensively in the report, I think the approach that the government has taken to that is trying to do that as cheaply and as quickly as possible. And I think ultimately that may come down to trying to reduce labour costs. I think that's the harsh reality of it, to be honest. So one of the examples of that, and I think there's a great deal of naivety around the use of the term pharmacy professionals. I've heard it said that it's just a nice inclusive term and a way of describing both groups together. But I think actually that's more about trying to portray pharmacy technicians as a group of professionals. One of the first instances of pharmacy technicians being referred to as professionals was in a hospital pharmacy journal, and it actually acknowledged that pharmacy technicians weren't a profession but were acquiring professional attributes. But I think going back to the cheating example, a profession in my eyes would want to deal with that, and I'm just not seeing that happening from pharmacy technicians. Now, there are some really experienced pharmacy technicians and some people operating at a really high level on the GPHC Council, for example, on the board of the APT UK. But largely you find that those people come from a hospital background or are working in hospital or in general practice. But actually 66% of pharmacy technicians on the register come from the community sector. So, you know, you can't sort of just ignore that and pretend that that's not the case, because you sort of have to deal with the fact that there are very different skill sets and very different levels of training happen in community pharmacy compared to hospital practice. And those have been outlined in GPHC commissioned research as well. Sorry, I've gone slightly off track there, Jonathan. I hope that's answered your question
No, it's
around
fine. It's fine.
roundabout.
No, I'll just pick you up on the profession bit. So one of the things the report did was question whether pharmacy technicians, you know, whether that whether they were a profession really, weren't they? And you sort of the report kind of hinted that, well, more than hinted. It said that the Association of Pharmacy Technicians in the UK maybe, and you touched on it there when you spoke about membership and where technicians hail from and stuff, whether UpTook can represent pharmacy technicians. Do you think they can?
At the moment, they can't represent pharmacy technicians as a whole because they've only got the latest figures that we had available was around 6% of pharmacy technicians in membership. And of the ones that they do have in membership, the majority of them are from the hospital sector. Whereas actually, if you look at the wider population of pharmacy technicians, the majority come from the community sector. And that's one of the other issues that the report highlights is that the APT UK has sat on various government boards and so on, representing pharmacy technicians. And actually, if the impression that people get of pharmacy technicians comes from the APT UK, which comprises mainly pharmacy technicians who are operating at a really high level, that's not giving a true picture of the skills and attributes of the population of pharmacy technicians as a whole. So one of the recommendations in the report is that the APT UK needs to improve its credentials of the representation of community pharmacy technicians.
The Scandinavian model was mentioned in the report. Can you explain how that fits with all this?
Yeah, so that fits because back in 2004, the Department of Health commissioned a report looking at pharmacy staff groups in Denmark, the Netherlands, and Sweden. So the findings of that study were considered, and it was with a view to making recommendations about practice in the UK. But one of the things that's recognised and is reflected in the report is that you can't, or again, you shouldn't simply try to transpose particular aspects of one country's model of pharmacy practice without looking at the wide picture and what's happening in that country more widely. And when you look at what's happening in those Scandinavian countries, the most similar roles to pharmacy technicians, the most comparable roles, are undertaking a more advanced level of pharmacy practice. But the nature of the qualifications that they undertake is very different. The clinical governance mechanisms in support of that are very different to what we have in the UK. And you know, if you're looking to set a vision and strategy for pharmacy practice in the UK, it shouldn't just be about looking around the world and trying to cherry pick the bits that suit your agenda without sort of looking at the wider picture. So there's a lot of work to be done, I think, in UK pharmacy to support the development of the role of pharmacy technicians to the same level as in those Scandinavian countries in the community pharmacy sector.
Sure. And one model that I was quite taken with is the dental model. And my understanding of that is that, and it's mentioned in the report as well, but my understanding of that is basically in dentistry, you've got a dentist, obviously, but then there's dental assistants and dental technicians, and they each have very defined roles. Is that correct?
Yeah. So that's one of the areas that the report covers for sure. And I think it's that is essentially what we need. The to develop skill mix in the right way is to understand what are the respective skills that you need from the two different roles, pharmacists and pharmacy technicians, and how those work together symbiotically. And that's what they've essentially achieved in the dental sector.
Now, this is a whistle-stop tour through this report, but another thing that was mentioned was grandparenting. Now, I've got my own view on that. I mean, I think it was possibly a necessary step. I think it was something that was done at the time to fix a problem, and the problem diminishes as time goes on. But what's your take on that?
Yeah, it's interesting to look at the history of it, to be honest, because grandparenting was initially designed to only be done over a short space of time, but actually it ended up being extended to last for several years. And when we submitted a Freedom of Information request to the GPHC, we found that 73% of pharmacy technicians on the register had been grandparented onto it. And we also asked the GPHC, what record do you have of any analysis or assessment that had been undertaken to determine whether pharmacy technicians, the training that had been undertaken, set the person up to undertake the role of a pharmacy technician? And the answer that they came back with was, oh, we don't have any. You could check with the RPS, which is probably quite concerning from a regulator in itself, that it didn't see the issue with that. But we did go and check with the RPS, and they didn't have any record of it either. So back when the decisions about grandparenting were being made, what did people have in mind about the role of a pharmacy technician? And I don't think there are any answers to that, or certainly there are no answers to that in terms of what did they envisage between a pharmacy technician and a dentist and a community fund, which is the situation we see at the moment is exactly the same. If you look at standard operating procedures in a community pharmacy, they very rarely. In fact, I haven't seen any distinctions made between pharmacy technicians and dispensing assistants, unless it's referring to an accuracy checking technician. That's not just me saying that. That's not just the BDA saying that. There are, you know, that's acknowledged in GPHC commissioned research and by some of the major employers, that there's very little difference there, and that's something we need to change.
So, and kind of in summary, it is difficult to summarize a 300-page document. I would urge people to go to the PDA website and have a read. It's very interesting. I think a lot of the points that are made are very valid. What takeaway message would you like people to get from the report?
I think broadly speaking, that there needs to be a discussion within the profession and led by the profession, not by the government, that about what we want for the future of pharmacists' roles in community pharmacy and what we want for the future of pharmacy technicians' roles and how those two fit together. And then to get to that place, what are the issues that we need to address to make that happen and to make it successful? I think, you know, another point that we hadn't touched on in the report, and it's because it is such a large report, is how pharmacy technicians are treated in the community pharmacy sector. And you know, as part of writing the report, as an example, we obtained a training agreement from a major pharmacy employer, which requires pharmacy technicians to do all of the coursework and their assessments in their own time. So it's showing that there wasn't that investment there that was needed in pharmacy technicians training. And I think the group has suffered from that lack of investment in training over a number of years. I think also another major point is the salary that pharmacy technicians are paid in the community pharmacy sector isn't really any different to the salary that you get in a general retail role or working for a travel agent, for example. Even within the same employer, we've seen that the salary for pharmacy technicians is less than if you're working in a role dealing with cosmetics, that you know the training for which can be done in a very short space of time. So what is there to attract pharmacy technicians to keep them in that role? And then another major point that follows on from that is, part of the role of a regulator is to protect the public, and part of being able to do that is if a pharmacy technician's fitness to practice isn't of the right standard, and it means that the person should be struck off the register, there has to be some consequence for that to make it worth protecting for the individual. And actually, if in time you could go and get another job working in cosmetics without the same responsibilities that the role should carry, then where is the consequence from a regulatory point of view? And it means that the regulator can't get any regulatory traction on pharmacy technicians. And a lot just aren't turning up to the hearings. We looked at that over the space of 50 months. The majority of pharmacy technicians were just not turning to their hearings, and they were citing reasons like, I've gone and got another job working in a steel plant, I've got a, I can't afford the train fare to London, those kinds of things. So it's not a great situation, to be honest. I appreciate that these are really sort of difficult things to face into, but I think that they have to be faced into. A final takeaway point, I think, would be that pretty much any pharmacist who's worked with a pharmacy technician will tell you that they're part of the team, they're the friends of pharmacists, and they rely on pharmacy technicians, and they learn a lot from pharmacy technicians, particularly when they first start working in a pharmacy. They're relied upon to keep the operation of the pharmacy running and smooth. That's an important message to take home, but that doesn't detract in any way from the issues that need to be faced into and from the vision that we need to discuss as a profession as to where we want to get to. I hope that makes sense.
It does. I think there's a lot of nuance within the debate, and folk will likely criticise how you've done the report, they'll criticise how it was communicated. In fact, there were articles written about that, but I think I personally tend to agree with you that, and I come at this as a massive fan of pharmacy technicians, to be brutally honest. I've written as such. I've publicly supported them, but I guess it is like a family, isn't it? You got to have these conversations, and I think it's not. I don't really like the term pharmacy professionals, because I'm a pharmacist. I went to uni for 5 years. I'm regulated. I've done postgrad training. I'm pretty moderate on the grand scale of things. But to be honest, I don't want to be I don't want the lines to be blurred. I want to be known as a pharmacist. And I suspect proud pharmacy technicians would want to be known as pharmacy technicians. So I think the report has been very useful, and I hope the quality of the discourse around it improves, and there's positives to take away. I mean, the positive is that we all want pharmacy technicians basically to be supported better. I mean, you made the point that the investment in their training and stuff is minimal. I mean, that's absolutely true, especially in community pharmacy, you know. So anything that shifts that on and, you know, gives them a bit more depth and interest in their career pathway, I think, is a good thing, and also good for pharmacists, really. So, but yeah, listen, Greg, carry on.
I was just gonna add to that. Sorry, Jonathan. I was just gonna say, you know, unless you first define what the role of a pharmacy technician is and say, this is what we want for the future of that role, then how on earth can you design the training for it? How do you, you know, it's trying to put the cart before the horse. If you design the training first and then try to define the role, it really needs that discussion about what the role looks like.
And that's where the dental model is, in my opinion, so useful, because they've, my understanding is, I'm not an expert in it, but my understanding is that they've created discrete role profiles that dental assistants or dental technicians can work up to, and then get, you know, like, accredited as that discrete role, and then they can go and work with. The other thing is that, correct me if I'm wrong, but dentists can't work without a dental technician, is that right?
That's my understanding, yeah. Mm-hmm. They need to have a dental technician present in the practice to work. Yeah.
So you see, that might be a useful precedent to set in community pharmacy as well, and it would actually secure the position of both pharmacists and, you know, pharmacy technicians. So there's lots around this. We could talk all day, to be honest, but and I must apologize because it is a 300-page report and we've rattled through it in half an hour, and it's not it doesn't really do the amount of work you've put into it justice, to be honest. So I just say thanks very much for joining me, Greg, and maybe we could speak further about it when we have more time.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you very much, Jonathan. You know, if anyone who's listening to this reads the report and has any comments on it, then more than welcome that. And you know, it'd be good to have the discussions on it. So thanks very much.
Pleasure. All the best. Have a good day.
You too. All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.